morning. We got here pretty early because we had a tailwind coming in from Anchorage. I'm thinking that that might be the delay for some people coming against that. So the headwind, yeah. So, yeah, Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we get to worship together today. And thank you for a new week and a new season. And let's worship. Amen.
Guys, how you doing? Alive and well out there? Oh, good. Oh, good.
Raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Raise a hallelujah. Raise a hallelujah. A melody. Raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
Oh, no.
My heart.
So I had the pleasure of spending Sunday last week with Rick and Linda in their church in America. America. And so our first question is, how's he doing? Right? Rick would tell you an answer that has nothing to do with his cancer. He is doing well in the physical. The cancer's going away. The chemo's working. Chemo is kicking his butt. And he said, it's such a blessing because it wakes me up every morning at 2:30. And I spend 5 or 6 hours with the Lord every morning reading and praying and interceding. So I am discovering a whole new side of the Father that I never knew. That's what Rick would say. For there is a love that is as strong as death, and jealousy demanding as the grave. Those are weird words to describe the love of the Father. So if you remember when Jesus was in Bethany, or on his way to Bethany, and Lazarus was sick and he died, and Jesus tarried, unknown at the time, but so that the Father would be glorified. And he gets there and Mary says, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, well, you know, he's going to rise up at the last day. Or no, he said, you know, he will rise again. And she said, oh yeah, I know he'll rise up in the last day. But that really wasn't what Jesus was talking about. Because before Jesus addressed her need in the physical present, he pointed her to the reality of the future, the reality of the unseen world. Because for us to get a good grasp of where we stand in the physical, we have to be aware of what has been completed and is truth in the eternal. Go ahead and put that up, Nate. Kiko. It should work. This is an old quote by Charles Spurgeon. It says, the crosses and comforts of this present time would not make half the impression upon us as they do if we did but believe the things of eternity as we ought. We seem to gauge everything by what's happening in the physical right now. And so our question to Rick is, well, how's the cancer doing? And Rick's answer is, the cancer doesn't matter. The Father is who I am interested in, and I want to be in tune with Him, and I want His Spirit coursing through every beat of my heart so that my body can't help but be in alignment with His will. That love that is as strong as death and jealousy as demanding as the grave drove the Son of God to follow the will of the Father because he was so intimately in tune with the Father's wishes for me. That's what Hebrews 12 said. For the joy that was set before him that he couldn't see yet, hadn't realized, wasn't going to happen just yet, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Can we say that about ourselves? That we can look at the physical around us, know what's coming, and say none of that matters because I can see beyond what is reality in heaven. That's what we need to learn. That's a skill we need to acquire. That's a grace that we need to see and emulate from Jesus because he demonstrated it for us. For consider him, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Jesus, thank you so much for despising the shame, not fearing what was going to happen in the physical, not even fearing, well, you feared it, the separation from your Father. And the wrath that would be poured out on sin, but weighing that against the benefit in the end, which was unity with us as a bride in your Father's house. Give us the ability to see beyond the physical, to recognize that these little emblems we hold in our hand are not just physical things, but are spiritual reality. The blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. And the body that was freely given, that laid itself on the altar so that I could go free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, the creator of heaven and earth, for this fruit of the vine and the bread that you've given us from the earth. And we remember your sacrifice of love for us. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hey, I just thought to thank the worship team. Can we thank the worship team? I know there's lots of ways that we can worship, but my singing worship, they make it sound beautiful. Whereas otherwise it would be like filthy rags, I'm pretty sure. So thank you. We're moving into this part of worship where we give our tithes and offerings. I've set it up here before, and it's clear in God's word that tithes and offerings, it's a matter of worship and obedience. But I recently heard two different messages within 5 minutes of each other, so I kind of took it as a highlight, not a different perspective, but another encouragement to me about giving. In Luke 5, Jesus wants to share the good news, but he's crowded against the shore of a lake. So he gets into a boat of Simon Peter, and he says, "Hey, row out a little ways so I can share the good news." And Simon Peter rows out. Now, Jesus did not love boats. The stories of Jesus in boats, he's either sleeping or he's just plain like walking on water, because boats, meh. So he didn't get on the boat because he's like, "I want to go on a boat ride." Have you ever been on a lake and you can hear across the lake somebody just talking? So water, it just carries sound. Calm water carries sound really well. So he wanted to get the news out. That's why he got on that boat. So he partnered with Simon Peter to share the good news. And because Simon Peter partnered with him, he got a net-breaking, boat-swamping catch. So this is an opportunity to partner with sharing the good news when you give. Yes, it's a matter of obedience. It's a matter of worship. But it's also partnering with Jesus to share the good news. It's not some ancient tradition that Melchizedek started. Jesus' desire to share the good news hasn't changed in 2,000 years. And this is partnering to share it. So let's worship and obey and partner with Jesus.
We sing hallelujah, the Lamb.
Well, if this is your first time to Bridge of Hope, welcome. Who's doing announcements today? What? Do you want me to... Are you going to come to me? I can come to you? We can do it from right here.
Good morning, everybody. Isn't it a great day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Something special's happening this week for the students, right? Yeah? Get the opportunity to get back to school and shine the light. So we're going to celebrate with an ice cream bar, woohoo, after church today. So if you're used to the coffee, tea, biscuits, that's not happening today. So we're going to be outside on the sidewalk. So, and it's not just for students. Adults can have ice cream too, okay? So everyone's welcome to join us after the service today. Spend some time outside, put together some ice cream and sprinkles and syrup and just visit with one another. Yeah, talk about how good God is, right? Yeah. Also, every Wednesday, we have the food pantry. Thanks to Denise and those that are also helping serve. If you would like to help in any area with that, please contact Denise. It's an amazing opportunity to bless our community. And Friday night, what's happening Friday night?
Youth!
Yeah! 7 p.m., youth. Invite your friends, invite your neighbors, invite teens you don't even know, okay? Yeah. And something coming up also in regards to back to school. The organization Moms in Prayer International is having a time of prayer specifically where moms can get together and pray for their kids or their grandkids. And this is coming up Thursday the 5th. There's all kinds of these little brochures in the foyer, so pick one up. And if it's something that you might be able to join with the other moms and grandmas and just pray over all the kids in the community, that's in the back for you to look into. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, so speaking of partnering with sharing the good news, I think Jody's going to talk about something about that. I'm on the right track? Okay.
Good morning, everyone. You want to come up here? So we are going on a mission trip. There's 12 of us going to the Philippines, to Davao City. I was saying it wrong. Davao. We met somebody yesterday at the memorial service, and he said it right, and I'm like trying to remember how he said it because he was from the Philippines. But so we've been asking ourselves how we can get our whole church body involved, and so we are going to take a couple items. We're going to have, of course, we have two suitcases each, and so one's for personal and one's for bringing stuff. So we'll have 10 to 12 suitcases that we can pile full of stuff. So we're going to do a flip-flop drive. So talking with Josh and Brandy, they said our cheapest flip-flops is better than the flip-flops they can buy there. So I noticed when I was in Fred Meyer's yesterday, they were like 50 to 75% off or something like that. So it's perfect time to do that. Other things we're going to do is basketballs. Their kind of national sport is basketball versus soccer and volleyball, but we're going to mostly bring basketballs. And so what that's going to look like is we'll bring basketballs. What I'd actually like to do is actually write prophetic words on the basketballs and hand them out. And actually what Brandy was saying and Josh was saying is if you play with them and then give them the ball afterwards, that would actually just the fact that you take the time to play with them. We may be going to a prison as well and playing with some men as well and then giving them the basketballs and then just speaking prophetic words over them. The other thing is anything Alaskan. One thing they actually do is it's really cool, and I'm not sure how that's going to work, but like Alaskan postcards. they will actually use pictures of Alaska and use that as a entryway to speak prophetically over people. So actually what I would like to do is also we're going to be making handmade postcards, but we're also going to be buying postcards. But I'd also like, we're going to have a time before we leave, is write declarations and prophetic words on those postcards, and we can actually hand that out and you know, go ahead and just use that as a avenue to speak into people's lives. Do you have something to say?
I always do. So I know this is our passion right now, and I think it's going to be a passion for a long time. But the prophetic part, just the praying, you guys just praying over if in anything that you're supposed to give, what I'm trying to say is pray before you invest, pray before you give. And I just really desire you guys just to pray for that. What God puts on your heart, please do not be motivated by, just be motivated by prayer is what I'm trying to say. The other thing is, and we talked a little about this, right now we're not asking for money. That's not what we're doing. We're asking for prayer. We're asking for these items so that we can bring them over there, and if you could pray over them. And just have fun with it, really.
Candy, all hard candy, nothing soft, nothing that melts. It'll be probably in the low to mid-90s when we're there. So hard, suffering for the gospel. But anything that melts, please. So, again, we'll have something, a table or in some baskets or whatever set up in the back next Sunday. So just be praying. We'll be in the back here handing these flyers out just as a reminder, maybe when you're out shopping or something. So we're excited. And I hope you're excited as a church that we can actually send us out to. I think it's going to be life-changing, not only for myself and my family, but those that are going. And I think it's a pivotal part in our church as far as going out in the world. I know when we were at the memorial service yesterday for Dick B, you know, I was realizing, you know, we're all called to legacy. We're all called to have a legacy and not just, you know, a few men here and there that have these huge things. That we all have things that we're called to, and we're big in God's eyes. So I encourage you, be big. The trip is from October 8th through the 24th. So we'll just start collecting up to that point. The Sunday before that is the 5th or 6th. I think it's the 5th. Is it the 6th? Okay, it's the 6th because we leave on a Tuesday, yeah. So we have plenty of time. Perfect time, like I said, is our end of our summer, and good time to get good stuff on sale. So
that's why I can't go on the trip, because I'm too soft and I would melt. So a couple weeks ago, I was up here and I asked if anyone was brave, and May and Sandra are going to help define what brave is.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They look brave.
Yeah. Look brave? You think we look brave? No, we're good with one.
So God has been brewing in my heart. I'm the leader of the children's ministry, and he's been brewing in my heart to exhort you why we do the children's ministry and what we're doing down there. Okay? So Zach shared last Sunday, I listened to the message, even though I was downstairs, about... Not with all the noise that was going on. That about the next generation. And we need to invest into the next generation. How are we going to do that? Why are we doing that? So this is our mission field. This next generation is our mission field right here, right now. We don't have to go somewhere else. It's right here. The devil is after the next generation, and he's after watering down God's truth. He's after watering down and compromising the truth. We see this in our families. We see this now going on right now, that the people are compromising what God's truth is.
Right.
I'm going to read to you some stats from the Barna group polls. These are recent stats, I think within the last 10 years. They're very sobering stats. And this is in the church going on right now today. This isn't around the world. On average, we get, as a children's ministry, about 14 hours of your kid's life in 1 year. Two out of the three children don't know Jesus as their Savior by the age 13. Most don't know what worship is. Three out of 10 are only absolutely committed to Christ. And three out of five young Christians either disconnect permanently or for an extended time from church after the age 15. I don't want any of these stats to be your children. Only a fraction are filled with the Holy Spirit. Only a fraction speak in tongues. Only a fraction have heard God's word and know what it's to be, know how to be led by the Holy Spirit or even feel his presence. The first 5 years of a child's life is the foundation of the child's belief system, and everything is filtered from that belief system in the first 5 years. This doesn't have to be this way in our children. I'm going to share with you a word God gave me back in 2016, and this isn't just for me. This is for all of us. God said, I am raising up an army of warriors who will fight in my name. Warriors that will battle on their knees. Warriors that will battle with praise. Warriors that will battle with worship. Warriors that will battle with song. And warriors that will battle with the sword of my word. Teach them. Instruct them in the way of battle against their enemy. Teach them how to advance my kingdom and how to tear down the strongholds of the enemy, Satan. To look in the face of the demonic and evil and not cower, for God, the I Am, is at their side. These are my warriors. These little ones will advance my kingdom on this earth. These are the ones who will move the boundary lines and expand the tent poles. Equip my army. Through them you will see my glory come and my name lifted up. You, each one of us, are a part of it, because I want to use you to teach and instruct them in my ways. Prepare them for warfare. So I'm going to share with you the mission and the vision that God... It's stuck. Okay. This is the vision. Would you put up our Ignite... says, God gave us, we've named the kids' ministry Ignite Kids, because that's what we want to do. We want to light them on fire for God. To ignite them with a passion for Jesus, that they are establishing God's word, they're encountering his presence, they're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and equipped to advance God's kingdom, and engaged to go and carry the message of hope and love of God to their world. To be established in God's word, firmly planted and rooted in his truth, encountering him for themselves. Not just being told about him, but that they know how to encounter Christ. That they are empowered by the Holy Spirit and filled with him and his gifts. That they're equipped to know who God is and who God is in them and who they are in God and operating in that empowerment. And then they are engaged and moving in those gifts. Because each one of these have gifts. They're not... They don't have to wait until they're adults or teenagers. That is part of our mission and our vision statement. I'm going to read it to you, a verse out of Psalms. It's Psalms 8, verse 2. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies. To silence the foe and the avenger. They can silence the enemy in our midst. They have power. They're not just little ones. We're not just babysitting club. We are there to empower them to know who they are in Christ. That they don't have to wait and go through the falls and the things that we have had to go through in our life because we didn't know the truth. That's what we want to do. We want to partner with you and you to partner with us. Becca and Denise, would you please come here? Becca and Denise and Kim Shaw, who's downstairs right now teaching the 2 and 3 year old class. These have been my co-laborers in Christ, teaching and giving of themselves for many, many years. And I want to thank them publicly for all that they've done. But I want to ask you guys to partner with us. We need more teachers like these two, like these three here, to invest into your children. So who's going to come alongside us and do that?
I just wanted to say thanks for people who are either already helping or have helped in the past. I understand there have been people that have gone before us. It's just our passion to give the next generation our ceiling as their floor. And it's important that we do not forget them, that we don't forget them behind. It's not about revival in our midst and they'll just take along. They need to be included in it. And so one of the gifts that I've got in serving in the kids ministry is I've gotten to know Sandra, gotten to know Andy, Jay, Leslie, Matt, and the teen helpers. That's just been one of the biggest gifts that I didn't even know that I got. And I would have thought that I was the last person ever to help in the kids ministry. I mean, one time when I was younger and I was an exchange student and I went with my host mom to pick up her daughter and she was helping at VBS and I didn't realize I was doing this, but as the kids came running out, I did like this number, like this, and I had no idea I was doing that. She's like, "You should have seen your face." And I would have thought I was the last person to ever help in the kids ministry, but it's so our passion. Look, I might not necessarily be passionate about kids ministry, but we are passionate about equipping the next generation. We're passionate about training them for warfare because they will face it. And so I wanted to share this word that the Lord gave to me back in April, and I want to give it to you guys too. This is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Fight for your children's lives. Your flesh wants to resist hard work. It wants to be satiated, but it cannot. It never will. A renewed mind can receive satisfaction doing the work of the Spirit. It is a training. It must be trained. The things of the world given to the altar of sacrifice continually, so that the Spirit without measure will gush and overflow into your innermost parts, dislodging all debris. This is for the end time harvest. Souls upon souls ushered into the kingdom, swept into the kingdom. As you turn and roll your desires over, examining which ones are mine and which ones are of the flesh, you will gain clarity and strength to walk in the fullness of who I called you to be. Every day present yourself to me on the altar of worship and sacrifice. This is where you will gain your strength and perfect love to empower you to do what I'm asking you to do." And so it's a huge job for us to equip them. And it just... They're going to see things that we can't even imagine, right? And they are the greatest mission field that we will ever step foot in. And the kingdom is about multiplication, right? I believe as we come down to their level, teach them truths of the gospel, then they will go into the future to harvest the souls that are meant to come into the kingdom with us. It's not an addition, 1 + 1. This is going to be a multiplication. And we like multiplication better than addition. And so we're just asking those who, if you feel compelled to run alongside us, we want you to run alongside us. It's it can be nitty and gritty sometimes. That's okay. You know, the reward is great. And
I just want to share that my son Samuel has been in Sandra's class for several years now, and he comes home and just shares everything he's learned. And I just love the word that's being put in him, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the seer stuff, that foundation's been laid. And I just really appreciate it.
My turn. Oh, hello. Am I on? There we go. I just want to say this, two things, or maybe three. Sometimes when you're sitting in a seat and you think, well, I don't have kids, or my kids are grown, or I need a break from my kids. You don't need a break from somebody else's kids. You just need a break from your own. But no, truly, the last thing you want to do is believe the lie that you have nothing to give, or that I'm not qualified because I don't have children. Silly things that the Lord wants to break in your mindset. But here's the part that when I was sitting here listening, it made me think of Mark chapter 10. Jesus is sitting and these children come to him, and his disciples see these, you know, chocolatey-fingered little kids. You know, maybe that's not exactly what they saw, but it's my story. So these little kids are coming to Jesus, and they're like, Jesus, Jesus. And his disciples are like, whoa, 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 back up. Right? What did Jesus say? If you're reading out of the King James, he said this, suffer not the little children to come unto me. But what he said was this, stop it. Yeah. Hang on. The kingdom of God belongs to such, to these, right? He also said later, he said this, unless you come as a little child, you will never see the kingdom of God. We have an amazing opportunity to be able to pour into children and see that? I'm getting backed up right now by the Lord. Truly, receive what I'm saying and understand that it's no small thing. It's no thing to take lightly, but you are qualified, whether you have children or not, whether you think you like children or not, you are well qualified to step in and be a vessel that's used by God to touch the lives of those who are moldable, shapeable. Because can I tell you this? If you don't help them identify who God calls them to be, somebody else will. So I'll stop now.
Another way to look at that, on the way when May and I were driving here, I thought, man, any little void I had growing up of someone that could have poured into my life, I thought, what about little times that, what if there was something that somebody could have said something to me, but they were sitting down, they thought, I don't have anything to give, you know, and they could have poured in. Yeah. So you can contact Sandra after the service, because she's going to be down there for the service. But so let's all greet one another, say hello, and then Zach's going to give us some meat. Huh? Oh, and the kids can go now, and the youth and the teens can go.